I'm going to talk with you. So that means I'm not going to read this quick. I'm going to read it rather slowly, and we're going to talk about it. So let's start. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. And the Pharisees saw that happening, and they said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" The Pharisees were the religious leaders. They were the teachers of the law. They were the keepers of the covenant. And they were watching. They were the Sabbath police, so to speak. And they were saying, why are they doing this? Why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? I'm here to tell you something. You know from reading scripture that back in those days, they didn't have as many roads as we have and as many paths as we have. They didn't have all the sidewalks and those kinds of things. And so they made their ways at times through people's fields. If you're my age, you know what that's like to walk through fields. We would do that as we traveled. Younger folk don't do that as much, but they would. And as they would go through a field, if the field was ripe, they would just grab some grain along and they would eat it. And that would be acceptable. That would be acceptable because it said in Deuteronomy, and you can write this down and look at it, 23:25, Deuteronomy 23:25 said, if you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to their standing grain. So it's saying, go ahead and take a little bit and try it. Take a little bit to stave off your hunger. But don't get a big old bag and start sickling that sucker and harvesting it as you walk through it. Because that is stealing. And that would be wrong. And we would do that as we went through fruit fields. You know, we'd grab grapes or grab berries and stuff. We'd grab pomegranates. Oh my gosh, they were so good. Trouble is, then we'd have to grab a few more. If we grabbed one, it would have been great. But we'd grab a few and just, and then, okay, that was stealing. Not good. But it was like that in California because there are a lot of fruit trees. You grab one, you're cool. You grab two, you're probably cool too. You grab more than that, now you're stealing and there's going to be trouble. Well, these guys weren't stealing. They were doing what was lawful. But what are the Pharisees talking about? Well, see, the Pharisees, they cared about holiness and they cared about the law and they wanted to be keepers of the law. The trouble is, laws are general and they're big, right? And they're instituted down, and they have force of penalty to them, right? We have laws that we have. But then we have things called ordinances. Those are smaller. They don't have as much authority or scope, right? And they're meant to manage these laws, to make sure that we're kind of abiding by them right in our local situation. That's why we're only watering once a week. That's an ordinance. If I break that ordinance, what happens? Nothing. Other than my neighbors look at me, right? And Jody goes, oh man. But, you know, because of conscience, you don't do it. But you could eventually get a letter. And then if you kept doing it, you could get a fine. And then you could get a higher fine. And ultimately, they might be able to put you in jail, but who would ever put anybody in jail for that, right? Because it's an ordinance. And it's not, but some people should maybe get put in jail for really being flagrant in the way they treat other people with ordinances, right? And so these Pharisees, they had their standards and they had created all these ordinances. And I'm not going to tell you yet, but I'll tell you later how many there were. It was a crazy amount of numbers. And so they felt like these disciples, they were breaking the laws of God in several areas. For instance, in reaping, because they picked these grains on the Sabbath. They were reaping. That was considered breaking the law. They were sifting because they were rubbing those things together. Oh my gosh, another, you're working, and so you're breaking the law. They were threshing. You know, I guess sifting is getting rid of the husk and the shells. Threshing would be rubbing the grains together. And then they were winnowing by getting rid of the chaff. Because they actually put this in their laws. They really defined it that specifically. And then they were preparing a meal. however rudimentary it was, by getting that all ready and then putting it in their mouth with their hand. Wow. Such lawbreakers. None of those activities were permitted on the Sabbath according to their traditions and rules. But it wasn't breaking the Sabbath by God's law. You see, wow. So there they were, giving them a hard time. Ready to say, why are you breaking these rules? Because these were the rules of the land. But Jesus came to do what? To bring the light, to bring the truth. And so then what does Jesus do? We come back to verse 25. He says, he answered, have you never read what David did? And what he's meaning in Scripture. I'm telling you, if you ever have a conversation or you're having trouble with an issue, always go back to the source. Always go back to Scripture. If you're going to have a discussion on something, go back to Scripture. Jesus always did that. He always said, okay, haven't you heard? Didn't you read this? Didn't you know that God said this? He starts and goes back to God's Word. It's such a great place to start. He says, haven't you ever read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? See, this is found in 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 6. And it says, haven't you ever read there? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and he ate the consecrated bread, David did, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet look what he was doing. It was only for the priest to eat that bread. And he also gave some to his companions. And Jesus is saying, it was okay. Didn't you read that? Didn't you know it was okay? Jesus is saying, if you're in need, I want to meet your need. I'm trying to tell you something about the law and what the law is for, but also what the Sabbath's for. Let me ask you something. If there's a person, even in our day and age, out in our neighborhood, they've been working hard, they've been going, you know, going nuts, working out in this terribly hot weather and humid weather, didn't have anything to drink, and they came up and opened your tap and grabbed your hose and took a drink, is that acceptable? Huh? Yeah, of course it's acceptable. Go ahead and do that. I can remember doing that at times when, I can't go into these stories, but where I almost thought I lost a person because of dehydration, and we did that. Threw our bikes down, I grabbed him, I grabbed their hose, turned it on, and we didn't know these people from Adam. But it's acceptable, isn't it? It's acceptable. Now, it wouldn't be acceptable if they went and they hooked another hose to it and drug it to their house and started watering their lawn with it. See, that's not acceptable, even though it's so hot. And they give, you know, let's fill up barrels and stuff. No, no. See, let me ask you something. You got somebody who is going to have a baby and at your house, or somebody who all of a sudden took a drug they weren't supposed to and could have a negative reaction that could actually kill them within minutes. You get him in the car, do you drive the speed limit? How many people here do? No, I guarantee the people who drive the slowest, who drives the slowest in this place? Okay, I got him and him. Okay, so we have some slow people. You're still punching it, aren't you? When you got to get to the hospital to save somebody's life. And guess what? It's acceptable. It's acceptable. A cop catches you doing that, a cop will assist you. You won't get a ticket for that. Because there's a need. And it's acceptable. Do you think God understands that? Yeah. The Lord is wonderful, and he gets that. Let's go to verse 27. Here's the point that Jesus said, and this is the point we're kind of getting to here, and Jesus is getting to. Then he said to them, the Sabbath, I want you to know something. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Did you just hear that? The Sabbath was made for man, not man not people, for it. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of my people. It wasn't made to be served as a burden, to be the Lord and controller and to people. Wow, Jesus. I like Jesus. But see, he's rattling people when saying that, because they're going to want to kill him when he's done talking about the Sabbath. Let me tell you something. Even though the next passage, he's going to do such great work and show them it's about loving, it's about doing good work. And they just don't get it, and they're going to want to kill him. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. You need to write that down. You need to realize that. So let's talk about the Sabbath just for a little bit. If you go back to Genesis chapters 1 and 2, that's where this whole concept of Sabbath first began. God had created for 6 days, right? And on the seventh day, he rested. I love that, man. He did all these great things, and then on the seventh day, he rested. But he didn't rest because he was tired. See, we rest because we're tired. He didn't rest because he needed a break. No, he rested to celebrate his creation. He rested to appreciate it. He rested to rejoice in it. So the Bible gives us in that, if you were to look through those first two chapters, the Bible gives us at least three purposes for the Sabbath. This Sabbath that they had created to be a burden was not to be that. This is what the Sabbath was to be for. Here's the first one. It's to celebrate God's provision. So on our Sabbath, typically on Sundays, that's one of the purposes of our Sabbath. Let's celebrate God's provision. Let's celebrate everything that he began in Genesis. He created everything and he stopped, not because he was tired, but to celebrate and appreciate all that he had accomplished and done. And that was to happen on the seventh day, the Sabbath day. Wow. He provided everything we needed. He provided systems that could provide for other systems so that everything could work together. It was marvelous. It was wonderful. Creation and all that we needed was completed. And God marveled over that. And he's called us to marvel over that also. Think about all that God has generally done for you and provided for you. Even today, you got chairs, you have an air conditioning, right? We have that. We've got a place to meet. It's wonderful. We have a beautiful day out here. We've got communities with roads and cars that got us here. So many generally, but what about specific things that God has done personally for you? Or personally, this past week, we heard of a couple of them. And those were personally given to these people, but there are other things. Some of those things are given to us as well. And we're to take a day in the week to celebrate that. Wow. That meets a need, doesn't it? It blesses you. It helps you to know where you are in the universe. It sets you up to be thankful. But there's another thing, another purpose of the Sabbath. It's to enjoy God's presence. That would be the second thing. You know, later as you read along and we receive the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the fourth commandment dealt with the Sabbath. And in the Sabbath, God's word and God says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Holy means set apart, special. And to dedicate the day to the Lord your God. That's what it was to be dedicated to. Enjoying his presence, enjoying his fellowship. So God's not saying, don't do any work but to rest, and he's not talking about being lazy or unproductive. What he's talking about is fellowship. Stop your normal routine. Stop and take stock. Slow down and enjoy my presence without trying to accomplish everything you can get done on a Sunday. Because you know that's what we do with Sundays sometimes, right? Because they tend to be the end of our week and the last day before our work week starts. And so we try to get everything done. And we make that a higher priority than just enjoying God's presence. enjoying all his provision. And but it's not that we can't do any work on it, right? We've grown up thinking we can't do anything, but it just simply says enjoy God's presence. Can you enjoy somebody's presence by doing a work project with them? Yes. Can you enjoy the presence of God while preparing to cook a meal for people? Yeah. Can you enjoy people by working together to prepare a meal? Yeah. You can do most anything on a Sabbath day as long as the focus is on enjoying God's presence and doing it with Him. In fact, that's what we've been called to do in life, is to enjoy one another's presence as we work together, rather than making people means to our own ends. Or not honoring people because they're not what we want them to be. We're not to do that. We're to enjoy their presence. Celebrate God's provision. And then the last thing is, we're to remember, last purpose is to remember God's promises. Right? Remember His promises. That's what we try to do on Sunday mornings. That's what we try to do, hopefully, every day. Later on, God gives Moses some more instructions about the Sabbath, and He says, "Be careful to keep my Sabbath day, for the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, it is given so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." I'm in your life. So remember this day. It was a day to be reminded that God still cares, because He does. It was a day to be committed to His He committed to His people. And it serves as a sign and a testimony to others about the God we serve, that He's been faithful. And so we remember those things. See, that's what the Sabbath is for. It was made to meet our needs. Do you get that? That's what the scripture teaches. But the Pharisees came along and they ruined all that, didn't they? Because that's kind of what we're like as people sometimes. We can't leave well enough alone. They thought and they taught the people that of God that we should serve the Sabbath rather than the Sabbath serving us. Therefore, Jesus said, hey, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. The Pharisees took something that was supposed to be a blessing, and they made it a burden instead. And so I'm here to tell you, you know how many categories they had that they expanded their law and these ordinances to cover? 39. 39 categories. If you go and you look it up and study it, that's what they'll tell you. You know, who knows, there could be a few more, it could be a few less. But they felt those ordinances could cover and manage work, and they believed that they gave instructions on how to keep or violate the Sabbath. And now Jesus comes along in this passage and stands before them, and He blows their whole system apart and said, all these things that you've done is null and void now. And they weren't real happy with it. It took a lot of work to get there. And now you're telling me that everything I was living for and doing was wrong? And Jesus was kind of saying, yeah, I am telling you these things. So He says, the Son of Man is Lord. See, Jesus is saying stuff. Remember, we've been hearing that in the first two chapters of Mark, telling people, I'm God. You know, whenever you hear this hooey out in the culture, well, Jesus never said He was God. Oh, my gosh. He couldn't have made it any clearer. He said it over and over again. And here He says, the Son of Man, so the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. I am Lord over it all. I'm the one who instituted it. I'm the one who first celebrated it. And so what's He telling us? He's telling us a few things, and these are simple things. I was the one who created this Sabbath. I am Lord over it, and I created it. Everything was made in me, through me, and for me. So when you go back to Genesis and see God the Father moving, you know that Jesus is right there. He is the Word of God, that when it was spoken, it created. So He is the boss over it. And He can do whatever He wants regarding the Sabbath, because he's Lord over it. He's going to be the one who makes all the rules, not man. And if there are any that aren't, that the Pharisees or some denomination says we should do that isn't in God's word, they're just wrong. They're just wrong. I am Lord over the Sabbath, right? Some of us grew up, and maybe some of us have been lords of the Sabbath, right? You know, and maybe we've grown up with that. I can remember being around certain groups where you couldn't have buttons on your clothes. Guys could not have facial hair because you would be considered unholy. Couldn't watch TV for sure, couldn't watch a movie. Oh gosh, couldn't dance. No, some of us shouldn't dance, but you couldn't dance or else you were not being right, right? And the list just kind of goes on and on from there. And you probably have your favorite one for the Sabbath to keep it right, right? But there were those things were out there. And Jesus is saying, I am Lord over all these things. I am the one. He's also saying, I'm the fulfillment of the Sabbath. I'm the fulfillment of the law. The Old Testament Sabbath, like all the other Old Testament ceremonies, pointed to something more wonderful than what they were. Something yet to come. And he is the fulfillment of these things. And then finally, he said, the Sabbath God gave is a shadow that points toward me, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a shadow. These Old Testament things are shadows. I want you to look at a slide. I think we have this scripture up on the back screen. It's Colossians 2, 16 through 17. And Paul wrote this. He says, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days, or new moon ceremonies, or Sabbaths. See, Paul is talking to believers, Gentile believers, and saying that. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. They're shadows. And Christ himself is that reality. Okay? He's the reality. He's come. Those things were shadows, and those things continue to be shadows. I want you to come out of the shadows and out of the Sabbath shadows and be free. What was the Old Testament Sabbath? It was a shadow of the reality to come. What does the Bible mean by a shadow? Well, you know what it means by a shadow. A shadow has no reality, does it? The shadow, the reality is what makes the shadow. I was watching Ashley up here playing the bass. Very few people know I used to play the bass, and let me tell you, I got jiggy with it too. You know, I was bing, bing. All right. So, now I could play Smoke on the Water, and I don't know what else. China Grove. I'm trying to remember some of those old songs. But Ashley was up here worshiping, and she had her hand on, and I'm watching her shadow like you're watching mine back there. And I thought, oh my gosh, what if I ran up and high-fived Ashley's shadow? What difference would that make? That would make no difference. Because she's not the, that's, her shadow's not the reality, she's the reality. I need to go high-five Ashley. She's the reality. See, if we had a sunny day, which we have a half-sunny day, if we didn't have two pickups backed in right on those doors like we have, what we would have is reflection off those windshields hitting our back here, and we'd have all sorts of shadows. And you know that the shadows were so defined and great, you could tell beyond a shadow of a doubt who was walking in and out the doors, what they were doing in the lobbies even, because you could watch it all up here, remember? But that wasn't the reality. The reality was there. It wasn't up here, right? Wow. The shadow is not the person. It's only a reflection of that person. People who are still trying to keep up with the Old Testament covenant Sabbath or other rules or regulations that aren't in scriptures, they're just chasing shadows. Why are we chasing shadows? Think about that. They're chasing shadows. While the reality, the body of the whole matter is passing them by. Wow, it's passing them by. Some people can get so caught up in keeping the rules of the Sabbath, they miss the ruler of the Sabbath. And that's what's happening with these Pharisees. Jesus is saying, and really this would be the final, you could put this along with your last third one on that. I am the focus of the Sabbath. I am it. The Old Testament was a shadow pointing to me, but I have come and I am Lord over the Sabbath. I am Lord, I'm the focus. So when you read the Bible or you listen to a sermon, guess what? Don't just get stuck on the shadow. This is a shadow. It's Jesus who is really speaking. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. I want to hear him speak through me and my shadow. Oh, wasn't there a song, Me and My Shadow? Right? That's where you want to be looking, because he's here. So when we sing a praise song or a worship song, it's not about singing. It's about worshiping Jesus, the reality. Don't get caught up in the shadows. It's about worshiping the reality. And when you give your tithe, or you give an offering, or you give in service, it's not paying the church's bills. And it's just not serving because they need somebody to fill a slot in ministry. No, it's about honoring Jesus with your wealth. It's about serving him with your body. See, that's what Jesus in effect says. When you give a cup of cold water in my name, you're doing it for me. You're doing it unto me. I'm the reality. That is the shadow. See, that causes things to come alive, don't they? In the church, in our worship. Wow, he's the focus, not these other things. So in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was about a specific day. But in the New Testament, it's about a specific person, and it's every day. We are living in the Sabbath now. I tell people, well, yeah, I'm in the Sabbath all the time. I'm in the rest of Christ because all the work's been done, and he's died to pay my debt. And now I'm in his kingdom, and I worship him, the reality. I walk with him, the reality. I serve him, the reality. Man, it's about him. It's about a specific person. In the Old Testament, it was about resting from work. In the New Testament, it's about resting in Christ. So that we do what the Lord asks us to do regardless of whether it's work, rest, or play. I'm living for him. I'm doing his will. Amen? That's what it's about now. In the New Testament, it is that. In the Old Testament, it was about rules to follow. But in the New Testament, it's about a relationship to experience and a person to follow and to become like. And are there specific principles that define what he's like? Oh, you betcha there are. There are certain specific ways that we are to live as followers of Jesus. And have we chosen to follow him? They're very specific because they're in our relationship with him. So in conclusion, New Testament believers no longer observe or celebrate the Old Testament Sabbath. It's been done away because Christ has come. It was from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, but rather we meet for worship and celebration on Sunday, the first day of the week, not the last, and it's the day of which Jesus rose from the grave. And that's why we meet on Sundays. Yet from our study, on one hand, Colossians 2:16 through 17 tells us, so don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. Don't get stuck and don't fall back into that religion thing. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ Jesus himself is that reality. So we are to worship this reality, and this reality will make a difference in our lives that everyone will be able to see. And it'll make a difference on how we treat each other and how we function in our world, because we won't be like our world. Because Jesus wasn't like them. Do you see this? He was always rattling the cages of the religious as well as the world both. These rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. But then on the other hand, Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 reminds us, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as is the habit of some that are doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. See, that's what Jesus is doing. That's where Jesus is at. That's where our relationship with him. That's where the reality of the Sabbath takes us. The Sabbath was made for us, not us for it. It was made to be a blessing to us, to meet our most important needs. We have definite needs on Sunday and every day of the week as we gather. And so let's just run through those needs again. And they're in our conclusion. We're to celebrate God's provision. Let's give thanks for that daily. Let's enjoy his presence daily. Let's remember his promises daily. Let's be spurred on to love and good deeds. I need other people to do that for me, to spur me on to love and good deeds. Without your iron sharpening my iron would not get sharpened, and vice versa. We need that. I need to be encouraged, and you need to be encouraged, and we need to be encouragers. Let's do that on the Sabbath. And then finally, we need to realize that these five pursuits are the priorities of our Sabbath. There are opportunities, and we have opportunities to pursue them. And those opportunities are running down. Do you get that? Do you get that? Those opportunities are running down. I just had my nephew. He's 50. He's young. He's a little squirty. I don't want to say what he was like, but you know. He was one of those guys you had to keep roped in, man, or else. And he used to climb those real tall radio towers, right, and loved it, and work on them, loved being anything like that, loved pushing the limits. He just died this last week. He's 50. He died just suddenly. Something with a heart attack or a stroke or something, and he's gone. You know, I just got to see him in June. I was so thankful. So thankful I took the opportunity. Didn't realize that was my last opportunity with him. Always wanted to be a good example to him and his two brothers, because I was the uncle that was the closest to them. And I wanted to see them saved. I'm not sure he's saved. But we had an opportunity to see each other. It's good. Who knows? Who knows? His sister accepted Christ just weeks before she died. So, don't know. He may have followed suit as like his mother. Our realities, our priorities, our Sabbaths are marching down. Jesus is coming back. Amen. The reality is here. I want you to stand with me and let's close in prayer. I want to invite